Artificial intelligence has become a hot topic lately and a game changer, especially in the healthcare field when it comes to medicine and caring for patients. AI is already being used for things like medical imaging analysis, telehealth, and robot-assisted surgery. And it's only the beginning.
Welcome to Healthy Living, Wellness and Prevention, Medical Innovation, the Informed Side of Care. Welcome to Baptist Health Talk.
Hi, everyone. I'm Patty Abril, coming to you from the Baptist Health Newsroom. Technological advances in recent years have enabled physicians to help a wider range of patients with complex heart issues and catch things sooner than ever before. With novel devices and advanced imaging, the landscape of cardiovascular care and interventional cardiology has improved so much because of the ability to care more efficiently and for more patients. Here to talk about how AI and technology are transforming heart care, we are joined by Dr. Tom Wynn, Chief Medical Executive at Baptist Health Miami Cardiac and Vascular Institute. Thank you for being here, Dr. Wynn.
Thank you, Patty, for having me.
Welcome to the Baptist Health Newsroom. So before we dive in into today's subject, I want to remind those watching now to send in your questions in the comments. We're here for you and happy to answer any questions you may have. Now let's dive right in. How has AI changed the way that we treat patients for their heart health needs?
Thanks, Patty. I think the first thing to do is just step back a little bit and ask us, what is AI? AI is obviously artificial intelligence. And the reality is AI has been around for a long time, since 1950. McCarthy actually coined the term back in the 50s. He was a professor at Stanford. And essentially, AI is a way for machines to act like the brain to make decisions. The reality is that back then, they couldn't really make the exponential growth that they're doing now. It's because of computing power. And now the computing power is so much more powerful. We're able to take large amounts of big data and analyze it to make decisions. So AI is going to change the world. You know, some people say that AI is going to be much more transformative than electricity. And I think medicine is a huge opportunity for AI to make impact in healthcare.
Telehealth has become part of a common care for patients across the industry now, especially after the pandemic, even more so. Is it used in cardiology, and what are the pros and cons of that?
The world's changing. You know, the days of having to see patients directly in the office are, I think, gone. We're seeing more and more patients via telehealth remotely, either via the phone, via email, something basic as that. So technology is really transforming the way we interact with patients. So telehealth is an opportunity, a way for us to see patients when they are in another city, another state, another country, without having them come in. And the reality is most of the imaging we can actually have imported in without having the patient come see us in person. A good handful of our patients now actually come in for the first time when we operate on them, and we do most of the workup beforehand. So it definitely has been in healthcare and will continue to be in healthcare as we use this technology to branch out other areas that don't have access to specialists.
Amazing. Are some of the advancements that have been influential to help cardiothoracic surgeons such as yourself become even more precise when performing surgeries?
The reality is, as far as surgical precision, not yet, just yet, but I think the future is there. What it has really entered in is robotic surgery. So robotic surgery has a lot of AI algorithms to help surgeons use robotic surgery to be a little more precise. Unfortunately, the reality is only about 20 or 30% of surgeons use the robot to do heart surgery. That said, there are a lot of technologies in the pipeline that could help us be more precise in finding diseases, whether it be using AI to transmit images onto the operative field, using AI to predict what size valves to implant, how many sutures to implant, using AI to help us, you know, take the patient off cardiopulmonary bypass. So I think there are a lot of potentials, but the reality is, as a surgeon, what we do is still very technical and requires our hands, and AI hasn't entered in the technical aspect of it just yet, but I think it will enter in maybe some of the diagnostic aspects of it and some of the decision-making of being a heart surgeon or being a surgeon.
And just to add a little context for the audience, can you tell us a little bit about what a cardiothoracic surgeon actually does?
Sure. So a cardiothoracic surgeon, by definition, is a cardiac, which is heart and lungs. So a cardiothoracic surgeon is someone that operates on the heart and lungs. That said, at a lot of centers, especially centers that specialize, cardiothoracic surgeons tend to focus on either the heart or lungs. So for me, I am trained in cardiothoracic surgery, but my specialty is heart surgery. There are some cardiothoracic surgeons that focus mainly on the lung or the esophagus, and then a small handful that do both. But mainly at highly specialized centers, folks usually specialize in either heart or lungs just because it's so complex.
So more than 500 clinical AI algorithms have been approved by the FDA as of now, with 10% of those focusing on cardiovascular applications. Talk to us about the applications that are helping in caring for the heart.
And this is where the excitement is. I think there are a lot of opportunities with a lot of these AI algorithms to really revolutionize the way we take care of patients. I'll just say something very basic. ChatGPT or Bard has, in many instances, been shown to be potentially smarter than doctors. There are increasingly a number of scenarios where doctors are stumped or patients have complex situations and they go to multiple doctors and can't figure out the diagnosis. And they'll put their symptoms into ChatGPT and it'll come up with a diagnosis. And the reason why they're able to do that is because a doctor can read maybe one or two or three journal articles per day. But if you put it into the AI algorithm, machine learning, they can read thousands and thousands of journal articles per day as well. The Mayo Clinic has done a lot of work in using these AI algorithm, especially with respect to EKGs. So they have technologies where just looking at an EKG, they can tell whether or not the patient has the gender of the patient, the heart function of the patient, whether the patient has a hypertension or not. Something that we usually don't think of when we look at a typical EKG, but it's able to pick up a lot of this background things that we either, as humans, don't see or kind of consider noise and make patterns and inferences from them. Here at Baptist, we were in recent discussions with FIU, and we recently have an affiliation with FIU, using potentially a stethoscope or auscultation to listen to heart valve disease to predict the severity of heart valve disease. So let me kind of describe a scenario. So let's say if you had a murmur. The typical example is the doctor listens to your heart, say you have a murmur, and if you had symptoms, you'd go to the doctor's office and eventually get an ultrasound of your heart. And an ultrasound would be able to look at your valves and figure out what kind of murmur you have, et cetera. This technology potentially can use the auscultation to listen to your heart and then figure out, well, what kind of disease, what kind of process you have in your valve, the severity of it, and when we can potentially intervene. And the reason why that's super powerful is that you might not have to go to a doctor's office. You can do this all at your primary care doctor. You can potentially even do this at home with a kit sent to your home. And this really kind of opens the doors because a lot of patients out there, a lot of people out there have issues with the heart they might not be aware of, but we're able to intervene sooner than later.
It's truly incredible. So talking about ChatGPT, generative AI has become very popular over the last few years. Specifically, ChatGPT seems to be the most well-known one among the public. How has generative AI transformed cardiovascular care, and what do you see coming?
So let me talk a little bit about generative AI. If it's not obvious, generative AI is what it sounds like. It's able to generate actual content. So the AI algorithm uses big data, mass data, to actually generate new concepts or new content. So what I see the potential for generative AI is in something that we do that's very mundane, is our interaction with patients like you and I are doing right now. But in the doctor's office, eventually we have to transcribe and write all that down. And eventually after we write all down, we have to enter to the computer and then order tests, et cetera. And this concept of just us being physicians kind of handcuffed to the keyboard because we spend almost as much time, if not more, in front of the keyboard as we do with patients. So the potential for generative AI, and the technology actually is there already, is that you can have an AI algorithm actually listen to our conversation and then afterwards transcribe the salient features of it and then eventually potentially connect it to our EMR system, which I think is incredibly powerful. Something I talk about a lot is that for me, I'm a surgeon. I love to operate, but I hate doing operative notes. And I've actually just done an operation earlier today and I haven't done my operative note yet. But conceivably, the technology could be watching me in the operating room, knowing exactly what I'm doing, timestamp each part of the operation, and then eventually when I walk out, most of the op note is written without me having to sit there and either dictate or type that up. Which ultimately what that means is you save time and money, really, in spending focused on some things that you really want to focus on, you know, with the patients instead of sitting in front of a computer.
That's incredible. And I have read, and there is some data up until now, based on what this conversation is, that this can actually help with clinician burnout. You know, speaking of not having to post-surgery go and have to input all your notes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Tell us a little bit about where you think that's going in the vein of helping doctors out with burnout.
Well, so we know burnout's a huge problem in medicine. And after all the long years of medical school and training, we finally practice medicine. But you know, there's a lot of things we do as doctors that's not directly related to medicine. I think the power of AI is to allow doctors to be doctors. And a lot of the I'm not sure mundane is the right term, but a lot of things that we do that's not directly related to patient care, a lot of documentation can hopefully be automated.
The dawn of AI, since the dawn of AI, there have been hesitations and questions from the public and even debate within the medical community about its use and its purpose in the field. Are there any drawbacks to the way AI helps us when dealing with the care and treatment of the public?
Absolutely. I think the important thing is that we need to recognize at the end of the day, AI is coming, whether we like it or not. It's going to change the world, but I think we need to embrace it, but we need to be cautious and regulate it because there are some potential downfalls of AI. Sam Altman, who is the founder of OpenAI, actually testified in Congress and issued a warning. You know, someone who was one of the founders of OpenAI suggested to Congress that we need to regulate this. One of the problems with AI, and we talked about generative AI a little bit, is that AI relies on mass data to then eventually generate content. So you can imagine potentially the content that it creates could be false content, or a term that's often called hallucinations, or that's kind of not really accurate at all. But then you can imagine a scenario where AI generates false content, but then machine learning actually goes back to this world of data and then generates more content. And then it's this vicious cycle of hallucinations after hallucinations after hallucinations. I don't know if you can kind of follow that. But I think that's one of the many small potential downfalls of AI that could happen if we're not cautious about it. I think ultimately we just need to embrace it, but we need to appropriately regulate it because it can get maybe dangerous if it kind of falls into the wrong hands or isn't thoughtfully explored.
For sure. Apart from regulations, what are you hoping to see in advancements in technology and AI that will take cardiovascular care to the next level?
Ultimately, as doctors, what we do is we make diagnoses and we treat patients. I can see AI being able to more efficiently make diagnoses, especially for complex patients and relying on volumes and volumes of data and do it much more quickly than most physicians can. I also can imagine that ultimately using AI, we can standardize and offer treatments that are better as well. If you have a patient and you ask 10 doctors what the best thing to do is, you probably get 9 different responses. And some of them might be based off data and some might not be. But I think using AI, being able to synthesize complex information to make the right diagnosis and then eventually offer the correct treatment, I think has a huge power in medical care. And the last thing is something I alluded to earlier. You know, just the keyboard liberation, the amount of time that we spend doing kind of mundane things that's not directly related to patient care, I think can be significantly reduced with AI algorithms.
For sure, a time saver. Okay, so now let's go ahead and answer some of the top researched questions we see on the internet related to this topic. Can AI be used to detect heart disease?
I think it can. And there is some technology out there that suggests that it can. A good friend of mine has a NIH study using wearables in patients after heart surgery. And what he's able to find is that there are kind of changes in the patient's heart rate variability after surgery, before they get a complication, before the patient even recognizes he or she actually has that complication. So this wearable technology, I think, has a whole lot of promise and potential for helping to make diagnoses. We only can recognize things that we're aware of, right? Whether we feel like we are dizzy, we have a fever, we're short of breath, but there might be subtle things that you're not aware of, but that's happening to you. And using AI can maybe pick up on some of these things. So for example, maybe there might be a subtle twitch in your left eye and you might not realize it, but that could be a sign that something else is foreshadowing something that's coming. So that's a power of AI to be able to pick up on these subtle patterns, have that pattern recognition to make potential diagnoses in heart disease and pretty much any medical condition out there.
And going beyond the diagnoses, do you think AI will, you were kind of alluding to it, be used to predict heart conditions a little better?
I think so. And you know, using some of the preliminary work that we have been discussing with FIU to maybe use auscultation, which is just a stethoscope listening to your heart, to be able to pick up heart sounds and maybe, you know, pick up heart valvular heart disease in that early stage can maybe really kind of predict heart conditions that happen before it even happens.
Is there any data on whether the mortality rate has decreased because of advancements in AI and technology?
I personally haven't seen that data yet, but I imagine that it's inevitable that the data will come. I personally have not directly seen that data.
Okay, well, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for sharing this insight with our audience. Remember, viewers, be sure to hit that subscribe button on our channel here to keep up with the latest health and wellness information and tips from our experts. Thanks for watching.
Find additional valuable health and wellness information on our resource blog at baptisthealth.net/news. And be sure to interact with us on our social media channels for live and upcoming events. Baptist Health Talk is brought to you by Baptist Health, the warmer side of care.